Very unusual. Indiana suddenly means something.
Yes, it's a political campaign that's taken the form of something out of the scenes of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, the old Jack Nicholson film.
Has Donald Trump thrown a monkey wrench into the globalists' plan, in your opinion?
I don't know that he's done that. I don't even know where he really stands about that. He's using sentiments about that as well as using anything else to gain political favor and attention. You know, he's a veteran of... He tested the waters with the Reform Party at the time Pat Buchanan kind of took over it. And he was looking to be a kind of either a rival or an heir in that regard, and then backed away. So he's learned a lot about opposing globalists, especially, and, you know, and then buddying up with Roger Stone, who's like one quarter reality and three quarters insanity and perversity on the subject matter.
Well, tell me about Roger Stone, Arlen, because his name came up last week. And he's on a lot of radio shows. He speaks to in internet sites. Roger Stone used to work for Donald Trump, correct?
Yes, he did. And used to work for all sorts of people. And is kind of behind the scenes. Well, he's written books, so I can't call him behind the scenes, but he's kind of like the champion of the... of the meme that of the Bush crime family and Bush and Clinton being in the same nest, and I think he's on to some things, but at the same time, I think it gets into the subject matter that I'm having to deal with here is that the persons in this whole scenario are overriding factors. There's the issues and the reality and dealing with trying to find out what the reality is compared to the hype and hyperbole and twistedness in people's portrayals of what the issues really are. And then there's the matter of the people and trying to assess whether or not Roger Stone or Donald Trump or Ted Cruz and Carly Fiorina are real people to believe in, or whether they're some version of other people's interpretations of those people. So
obviously there's been a schism in the Republican Party, Arlen, the last 27 years. It seems like the neocon William Crystal National Review Republicans, they feel the need to police the conservative movement. And yeah. People who believe in the old Jeffersonian Republic need not apply.
Pretty much, you know, they're if you use analogies of that era, they're more like Alexander Hamilton. They like centralized power and being arm in arm with banking interests.
So, do these folks, William Crystal and the National Review Republicans, do they accept Ted Cruz?
I think they are very concerned about Ted Cruz. Don't like him at all. Would have much preferred Jeb Bush or Marco Rubio or any number of Republicans. I think Scott Walker was one that was ready, willing, and able to, you know, go right down the path of the Koch brothers and. What would you want to say? The libertarian conservative fallacy in the way of what's real for America, and I think those guys, the neocons, were ready to, you know, they try to keep their ascendancy with those kinds of candidates. Certainly, Donald Trump, I'd have to say, throws a monkey wrench into what their goals are and ambitions, because Donald Trump is, I wouldn't say he's just a bull in the china shop. I would say he's a rabid bull. I don't know, maybe mad cow disease, whatever the disease is, a diseased bull in a china shop. But a bull nevertheless that can achieve, you know, the big bull status over the females in the herd quite often. And I think Ted Cruz would also be an opponent, a fervent opponent of the neocons. I think he and Heidi worked their way up through the system, and I think what you see has been what you get with Ted Cruz and Donald Trump. That's my point. We need to get rid of the fevered conspiracy theory and go with this conspiracy theory based on fact that we know, and realize that these candidates are how they act. And if you do that, you can see that in the case of Trump, he's for himself. He's a narcissist. He's a pathological narcissist. And God only knows who he'll align with. He's the kind of guy that will suck up with people that suck up to him and will promote them, whether they're in his family or in his employ or financiers for him, like Deutsche Bank or with Citibank, who put their foot down with Donald Trump. He doesn't like Citibank, and they don't like him. Yeah. Or some of his employees that have spoken up against him, or some of the people, of course, his rivals he'll tear down one way or another, however he thinks he can, from the left, from the right, from the perspective of being a nationalist or a populist, or from whatever, or from the sake of being somebody that needs to be a friend of John Boehner and Nancy Pelosi and cut deals, and you know, a big friend of the Clintons. Whatever he can grasp to isolate and alienate and disparage his rivals in true Alinsky fashion, and maybe more viciously than Saul Alinsky could imagine being done, he'll do. That's my version of Donald Trump. I think it's the real version that just complies with the behavior that he has exhibited for decades, and up until this morning where he's taking on Ted Cruz's daddy.
Well, Arlen, I you and I mean, we're more of a, well, at least me, I guess I can't speak for you, but I'm more of a Rand Paul, Judge Andrew Napolitano guy. I mean, to me, that would be my ticket. But Schlafly, Buchanan, Newt, Laura Ingraham, Hannity, Palin, all siding with Trump. And then you got guys like Beck, Erickson, Romney, Rove, Crystal, Levin, all siding, you know, all against him. So
yeah, I just think that you can't lump people like Erickson and Levin quite in with Crystal and Bush. I think personally, I'm right between the people I just mentioned on the good side, Levin and Erickson, and Rand Paul on the other side. I was a fan of Rand Paul and Ted Cruz coming into this. And I was even open-minded about Donald Trump until the first debate, when he just showed that he's Donald Trump. So, I guess there's two sides of this whole scenario. One side is understanding who the people are and the psychology and makeup of those people, and the other side is these movements that are behind them, for good or for ill, and those are the things that we can consider, and we can project and find out what in the world is going to happen if Donald Trump is nominated. That's the whole kettle of fish that I think Donald Trump is so self-destructive and destructive of those around him that he'll eventually be very bad for those who align with him. So, you know, I commend Sarah Palin. I commend Laura Ingraham, my commander, all of those people who are kind of in the same boat that you and I are, I think they're more of the traditional conservatives that are kind of beginning to see the light about needing to stand up for American interests against trade deals, and certainly on immigration as well, and against manipulation of our currency and the banking interests that aren't really for Americans. They're in cahoots with both leftist centrists and Marxists and multinational corporations.
Well, but
I think those guys are commendable, but they're going to be hurt. Everybody's going to be hurt with Donald Trump if he gets nominated, and especially if he becomes president.
Arlen, you can't tell me you didn't like that foreign policy speech he gave. I mean, that was the best foreign policy speech in 27 years I heard from a Republican.
I like the generalities in it. It's possible that Donald Trump could get elected and behave himself and realize that he has to be controlled by people that actually know what's going on, you know, and he did exhibit that in his foreign policy address. And so if he kind of like on the other side, Barack Obama realizes that he has to be somebody controlled by people that really know what's going on to one degree or another, and even more so with Donald Trump than Barack Obama, because he is a lot more ignorant. Then it could have a good result, except that he's going to continue to alienate good guys and bad guys because of his perverse behavior of insulting and slandering people that are on the right, up and down right, you know, right versus wrong, and, you know, aligning himself with just crazy people like Bobby Knight and Mike Tyson. And I think he's going to continue to give the good side, even if he aligns with the good side, in increasing measure, he's going to give the good side a bad name.
Right.
Well, even if he does the right things. He might do the right things. He might appoint, you know, Scalia types for the SCOTUS, and he might do what Ted Cruz says he wants to do and audit and look for a way to get beyond the Federal Reserve and stabilize our currency in a sane way and alien and divorce ourselves from that kind of control. But, you know, personally, I say, well, then vote for Ted Cruz because, A, he's sane, and, B, he's coming our direction more and more and more as he gets to understand the kinds of things that we understand. Trumpology, a masterclass, and they're interviewing five people that have had a very strong business relationship, not as sycophants to Donald Trump and not as adversaries necessarily, but as just business people looking to see what they could do or not do with him, and people that have experience with him over the years, and they just confirm that what the psychologists say too, that he's somebody that's in it for himself and he doesn't really know good business very well and gets caught up in rivalries. And this gets back to your point, which is the same as my point, maybe said in a different way. He treats very well those who suck up to him, because that is what the psychiatrists call narcissistic supply. If they invest themselves in his image of himself, of being a kind of a Superman, and that he absolutely needs to support that notion, then they get very good treatment by his standards of treatment, and many of those people like to be treated that way. But if you try to make sense with him in ways that he doesn't want to deal sensibly in, then you begin to be his rival. And those are the guys I'm talking about.
Arlen, I'm almost out of time. Gulagbound.com. What do you think will happen in Indiana today?
I don't know. You know, the odds makers are saying that Trump is going to win. We'll just find out what goes on. Beyond that, I hear that the Democrats are going to dump $20-some million at least in negative advertising in battleground states on Trump as early as June, expecting him to win the nomination. And we'll see what effect that has. He's just such a huge target even the likes of Hillary, I think, is destined to win. But her record is so bad.
I don't think Hillary can win a one-on-one race with anybody. I think head-to-head, three-way race, absolutely. My guess is that the globalists will find a candidate, a malleable candidate, and the progressives will also fund this particular candidate to get into the race, and that'll steal votes away from the Republican nominee.
Okay. My warning about that is, don't be at all surprised if that person you describe turns out to be Donald Trump, because he's that malleable himself. And, Jimmy Carter was right. Robert Dole is right. He will do whatever he can do to keep power. And I think what you see from him might be a reflection in many cases of some of his inclinations, but he's also overriding to that. Above policy and above principle, he's in it for Trump, and he'll cut deals with the devil.
Right, but the progressives and the neocons, they want somebody that they can control to their advantage. Arlen, I'm out of time. Hey, gulagbound.com is the website. Arlen, you have a wonderful day, and thanks for your expertise.
Thank you, Dan. Thanks for yours. Take care, bye.